chapter number 11. Some of you may be thinking, well, preacher, you ain't preached out of the book of John in a while. Well, when the Lord gives me liberty to go back to it, I will do that. I'll be glad to. And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness and for all that he does and has done for me. I want to begin reading in verse number 24 this morning, Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews is in the New Testament of your Bible, near the end of your Bible. I don't want to pretend that everybody knows exactly where that is, so I hear some pages flipping, and that's all right, amen. I'd rather you take time and know the Word of God, and you find it. I do want to say this in just before we read. I apologize. I have not communicated the November Bible reading to Miss Christie yet. And so if we don't have it here this morning, that is solely my fault. And so if you will be patient with me, I will get that emailed out, Lord willing, this afternoon. But be looking for it in your email. I'm sorry that we didn't have it printed, but that is my fault. I had a lot going on this week and did not get that communicated over there to her. To take care of that. So hopefully we'll have that out this afternoon. The November Bible reading for our chronological Bible reading that we've had here for the year. I know many of you have already completed your Bible reading for the year, and kudos to you. Amen. And I'm glad you have. I want you to not neglect the habit of reading your Bible just because you finished reading through your Bible. Build the habit and continue to learn from the Word of God. If you're here with us Wednesday or got to watch online Wednesday, we talked about falling in love with the Lord a little bit more. And that's what the daily Bible reading does for you, is it helps you remain in love with the Lord, amen, rather than in love with the things of the world. All right, Hebrews 11 and verse number 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians essaying to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, have y'all noticed a trend yet? By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, by faith, Rahab. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I come to you, Lord, asking you to move, asking you to do something great in someone's life today. God, help us to understand the Word of God. Give us clarity of thought. Lord, give us solidarity of mind as we read in your Word. Help us, Lord, to keep our attention on the Word of God, and Lord, not to be distracted by anything, but to learn and to grow and to know more about you. Father, reveal yourself in a greater way today. Use today to help us all. Forgive me, Father, of my many shortcomings, my many sins, my many failures. Lord, where I've sinned against you and been unfaithful to you, Lord, forgive me of those things. Let me be pure and holy before you as I preach to your people. Give me the right words to say and the right attitude and the right spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. This chapter of the Bible is often referred to as the Hall of Faith. and it briefly outlines great Bible characters and their faith toward God. By faith, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. And in that little statement right there that I just gave to you covers several hundred years of Israel's history. And it names Moses, but does not name Joshua, who was the successor of Moses after he had died and God took his body and put it somewhere because, well, he didn't want the Israelites worshiping Moses rather than worshiping him. And so the Lord hid the body of Moses, and Joshua took over the leadership of Israel and carried them through over into the Promised Land. And we know that Moses never got to go into the Promised Land. He got to see the Promised Land, but he never got to go into it. So it's interesting that it names Moses, but does not name the leader who led them into the Promised Land. However, this passage of Scripture and this that I read to you names someone that is completely unexpected. Oh, Moses did a lot of good. And Moses was such a prophet and such an impact on Israel. And Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt's bondage after they had been hundreds of years in Egypt's bondage. He led them out of that bondage. He battled Pharaoh, both physically and mentally and spiritually. He battled Pharaoh as he decided to follow the Lord and to lead the Hebrew children out of Egypt's bondage. And you guys know from the book of Exodus all that happened there in the book of Exodus and all that God did to the Israelites or brought the Israelites through and did to the Egyptians to allow them to get away or to get out of that bondage that they had went down in all the way back in the days of Jacob. All of those years had passed, and Moses was the guy that led them out of there. So Moses was a great contributor to the Israelite people, to God's people. However, immediately after Moses is named and the Israelites are talked about, an event takes place in Scripture in the book of Joshua where the Israelites march around a town called Jericho. And in the town of Jericho lives a little lady. Her name is Rahab. And God does something incredible. Hebrews 11:31 says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." God saved, God spared, and God separated a little woman from Jericho simply because she put her faith in God, and her name was Rahab, and the Bible tells us that she was an harlot, but she believed God. May I bring you up to speed in case you are not familiar with the word harlot? She was a woman who profited off of selling her body. That's what she had done. And even now in society is looked down on and is a shame. We do have some who brag about those things, and it is a sad state that we see, but we see this little woman who had committed these things and done these things, and I want to take a closer look at what the Bible says about her. I think we've seen and heard plenty of preaching about Moses and about Joshua and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the heroes of the faith, but this little lady here was a hero that God included in what we call the Hall of Faith. And we read about her in Joshua chapter 2. In Joshua chapter 2, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Now, she was a harlot. We can't ignore the obvious. We can't ignore what the Bible says about her, and this is the truth of her life. It's who she was. It was ingrained in the fiber of her being. It was acts that she had done and she had committed. However, God used this little lady in a great capacity to preserve Israel. She protected and hid the Israelite men. Now, for the sake of time, we're not going to read all of Joshua chapter number 2, and may just leave that at the verse number 1. I encourage you to go and read it when you get home this afternoon. But she protected and hid the Israelite men. Now, I think it's pretty interesting that the king, in Joshua chapter number 2, the king of Jericho sends people down to Rahab's house to find out who the men were that came into Rahab's house. Now, I think it's interesting because it seems like to me that a harlot's house would have a great amount of traffic in and out. Please understand, I'm not trying to make a joke there or make light of the situation, but it seems like that it would not be unusual that strange men would be coming in and out of her house at all times and at all hours. And so she understood that, she knew that, and I believe that the spies knew that, and so therefore they decided they would go to her house. And while they're at her house, they make a covenant with her, and she makes a covenant really with Israel. And because of that, she decides that she will believe that God will spare her and her family simply because she puts faith in God and not in her own ability or her own actions. Her house was on the wall. Her house would have failed had it not been for faith in the Lord. Now, the really amazing thing, you've heard the saying, the scarlet thread that runs through the Bible that represents the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe we see it clearly, abundantly clear here. She put a scarlet cord in the window to remind Israel of the covenant. That is a picture and a type of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you and I all the way back in those Old Testament days. And so we read about the actions of this little harlot woman who decided that even though she was involved in that lifestyle, even though she was guilty of things that are looked down on society, even though she was living ungodly and promiscuously and doing things that were not right, she decided that even in the midst of that, she would believe God. And God saved her life. Now, her actions were reprehensible, but God didn't look on her actions. Y'all all right? What she had done in the past was ungodly, unholy, unrighteous. But God didn't say, I tell you what, you've done some ungodly, unrighteous, unholy things, so therefore I'm not going to save you or your family. No, God looked at her in the condition she was in the life that she was living, and decided, because she believes in me this one time, I'm going to go ahead and save her and her family. Amen. My, what a wonderful, merciful God we serve. So we read about her actions in Joshua chapter number 2, and then we read about her reward in Joshua chapter number 6. In verse number 17 of Joshua chapter 6, the Bible says, "And the city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are therein to the Lord. And only Rahab the harlot shall live." Isn't that amazing? "And she and all that are in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent." Now, here's how that goes. There was that little town Jericho, and God had told Joshua to go defeat Jericho. Now, Jericho was a formidable enemy. They had a lot of army. They had great walls that would protect them and those people. And God said, "I want you to go down there, and I want you to defeat Jericho." But see, God gave Joshua an interesting charge. He said, "I don't want you to just go down there and defeat Jericho. I want you to do it without weapons." Uh-huh. It's not the weapons that we think we can formulate that get God's attention. Matter of fact, it's our inability to do anything that gets our God's attention. Amen? And so here is this little Israelites that are going to march on Great Jericho. And as they march on Jericho, the Bible says that they march around six times, and then they march around again seven times. And you guys know, and on the last time, God said, I want you to shout. And they shouted, and the walls come falling down. Now, some of you right now grew up in church culture. You're singing that little song. Joshua marched around the walls of Jericho, Jericho, Jericho. Joshua marched the walls of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. You're welcome. Be stuck in your head the rest of the day. Some of y'all are going to be sitting at dinner this afternoon going, Jericho, Jericho. What's wrong with that crazy preacher? We don't know. We ain't figured him out yet. Amen. But Joshua marches in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua marches on the walls in verse number 12 through 16. The walls fall in verses 20 through 21. And Rahab's house is saved in verses 22 and 23 and verse number 25 is what we read. And so she is rewarded simply because she believed that God would do what he said he would do. Now, what did God say? Well, those spies said, if you'll protect us, if you'll hide us. See, what I did not tell you a little while ago is when that king sent men down to the house to look for those men that had come in their house, she took them up onto the top, onto the roof. Now, you're remembering the story of David and Bathsheba, that the rooftop was a private place. It wasn't just maybe not the most secure, and if you were the king, you could obviously look out. We know that from that story, but the rooftop was a place where nobody was supposed to look. And so she took them up to the rooftop and hid them under some flax. And there they stayed protected, and then they fled at night, and they were able to defeat and able to take a word back to Joshua and let him know. But she had done that with the simple belief that God would spare her family. And so God did indeed spare her family, and God gave her and followed through with his promise of what he would do. She was rewarded simply because she had faith. I hope I'm making my point abundantly clear. Do you know that there is a whole school of thought that says we must add something to belief in order to be right with God? She didn't add anything to her belief. She just simply believed. And she put symbols out there that she did believe. Her belief changed her actions. And so there's more to her story. Y'all still with me, right? Give me a nod or something. We see what God does for her in her future. So we see her actions, we see her reward given to her, her immediate reward, but then we see that God changes the trajectory of her life. She was a harlot. She had the most ungodly lifestyle, even by today's standards. And yet God changes her life. Amen. What do you mean, preacher? Well, let's read something in the New Testament of the Bible. In Matthew chapter 1, we read the genealogy of a little Bible character named, Jesus. And he is the Son of God. And God does some miraculous things with him, but we found Rahab in the Hall of Faith. Come on, brother. Spoiler alert, we're about to find her again. Matthew 1, verses 1 through 5, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren, and Judas begot Phares and Zerah and of Tamar, and Phares begot Ezram, and Ezram begot Aram, and Aram begot Amminadab, and Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz of Rahab. Did y'all catch that? Y'all know who Boaz is or Booz here? We know him in the Old Testament as Boaz. We find Boaz in the book of Ruth. where Ruth, who had been a Moabite or was a Moabite woman, had been out in the far country with her mother-in-law, Naomi, and they came back to the city of Naomi's nativity, and there little old Ruth found favor in Boaz's sight. He looked at her and thought, man, that's a good-looking woman. Hey, guys, while she's in my field gleaning and getting something, I want you to throw a little bit. This is the Bible expressly says, give her handfuls of purpose. Amen. Let some handfuls of purpose fall in her life. Did you know that that man that fell in love with Ruth there all those years before was born to this little harlot named Rahab? Amen. And the Son of God came from her house and her lineage. Amen. I love the Bible.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Obed begot Jesse. Y'all know who Jesse was? Jesse was the father of King David. I wonder how many times, or if you ever got to meet him. While David was a little ruddy feller, and he'd be on the backside of the desert doing what he was supposed to do and making sure that he was tending the flock, I wonder how many times that granddaddy Boaz brought great-grandmama Rahab. And I wonder how many times, and I know I'm reading between the lines, I know. But I wonder how many times that King David watched little old great-grandmama Rahab come walking across the pasture. Come get you something to eat, baby. Because that's what great-grandmamas do. Amen? Come get you some food. We got something to eat here. Why don't we, me and you, just sit down and talk? And I wonder how many times that she said, I remember when Boaz saw your grandmama Ruth. I remember when Jesse was born. See, we detach Bible characters from everyday life. But really, they were just people, just like me and you. Amen? They had feelings. They had thoughts. They had lives. They had the intricacies of life, just like you and I do. And here is David, who will soon ascend the throne of all Israel after Saul, and who will go through all that he goes through. Here he is, listening to the little lady who was formerly known as Rahab the harlot. And God had changed her life, where she is influencing the king of Israel. I wonder if this is, y'all okay, y'all all right with that? I wonder if this is the reason why that David was able to stand there when he could have got old Saul, Canaan, and said, I could have had you, but I knew not to touch God's anointed. Uh-huh. Y'all remember that? When he said, who'd you come out to pursue? A dead dog? A flea such as I? David never placed himself way high before he ascended the throne. Amen. He understood his place. And I wonder if it was because hunting down with that little great-grandmama had taught him humility and to understand that people need compassion and love because not everybody's life is perfect.
Amen.
This little lady had influenced the king of Israel, who would go on to influence nations until this day. Israel is in the spotlight of the world. She's placed in the genealogy of Jesus, David's great-grandmother. See, some people are known for one thing, but then they put their faith in God, and He gives them a new thing. I don't know what you're known for. I don't know what sin or discrepancy or heartache or trouble or trial or difficulty marks your life or mars your life. I can tell you that there's a Savior who loves you. There's a God in heaven. Old Daniel knew about Him. Ruth knew about Him. All the Old Testament characters knew about Him. And He is in the business of redeeming those who are seemingly not worthy of redemption. And then He takes them, takes those very lives, and says, I'm going to work a work in them. I'm going to do something that can't be explained except God did it. My, my. I guess my life verse is Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool. They shall be as wool. And thank God for that scripture. But I guess a close second runner-up for that and favorite passages of Scripture is what I'm about to read to you right now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. We hear this a lot. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators." Well, that knocks Rahab out of the loop, doesn't it? "Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." All of these things people are known by. You've heard it said, once a thief, always a thief. Once an adulterer, always an adulterer. If you're saying amen in your mind, I hope God gets a hold of your stinking nasty heart and squeezes it till the juice runs out your eyeballs. Once an adulterer, always an adulterer. Once a drug addict, always a drug addict. That's what some people say. Once a drunkard, always a drunkard. Once a heathen, always a heathen. No, no, no. Thank God for redemption. Let me read to you the next verse. Let me read to you verse number 11. The Bible says to us Christians, "And such were some of you." Unrighteous, fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of ourselves, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners. And some were some of you. Such were some of you. Here it is. But, but, ye are washed. Ye are washed by the washing and regeneration of the blood of Jesus, is what the Scripture tells us. But ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Ye are washed. I'm glad that He can take the dirty, vile, wicked, ungodly, unholy, unthankful, unrighteous sinner and make them clean. Ye are sanctified. You know what? Getting clean starts a process in your life. And yet we all in different places in that sanctification. When I realized that as a pastor, my life got a whole lot easier. We're all in different places. You're sanctified. You're going through a process of growing and sanctification in the Lord. And then justified. Let me help you with this one. This is one way to remember the word justified. It means that He don't see you for your sins anymore. You could say, just as if I'd never sinned. That's what justification is. You're vindicated for your sin. Not because you have done something that makes you righteous, not because you've done something that makes you good, not because you've done something that makes you right and holy, but because of the name of the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of our God. Every saint has a past, and every sinner has a future. Jesus is the difference maker in what your future is. You say, "Preacher, I don't know if God will ever use me." Well, He took this little harlot and He put her in the hall of faith. And I don't think that the writer of Hebrews labeled her the harlot Rahab so that we would remember that she was a harlot, but to remember what God brought her away from. Not so that we would condemn her over and over and over again every time that we read, but so that when we read that little verse, "By faith the harlot Rahab was redeemed by God, and God saved that little lady, and God brought her into the family of His own, and God changed her life and changed her trajectory and made her more than what the world ever thought she could be. By faith, Rahab. Can I remove that? The harlot part? Because she got justified. See, some of us has got the idea that God looks down on us and says, you dirty sinner. You're rotten and wicked. And I don't want nothing to do with you. It's more along the lines of, boy, you've got yourself in a mess. Let me get you out of it. And he brings us up out of that. The Old Testament said it like this. He done brought you down here to the front row. And the front row is where the interactive preaching is. And so you blame Kai, not me. She slapped him. I wonder if I can get him in more trouble. I done lost my train of thought. God brought her out of what she was and made her into something greater than she had ever been in her life. I'm looking around a room. I see a whole lot of people who you think, because of your sin, God can't use you or God won't use you. And so you wallow in that self-pity and in that mire of guilt and shame. And God used that little lady whose guilt and shame brought her to influence the king of Israel and be included in the genealogy of Jesus. By faith, Rahab. We don't have to remember her for what she once was. We can know her for what she now is. What about you this morning? What about you? Are you remembered for what you've done, what you've said, who you are, where you've been, what you've been involved in? So we got a name for the rascal that brings those things up. He's the accuser of the brethren. Satan, the devil, the wicked one, father of lies.
Amen.
And he'll tell you that you can't never come up out of that. And he'll tell you that you'll never be known for anything else. But God shows us otherwise. The difference is whether or not you will believe God. Put your faith and trust in Him. Lord, you know, you've heard everything I've said today. You've heard what our people have heard. God, I pray that you would work mightily. I pray, God, that you would change hearts and lives in this place. I pray, Lord, if there's someone that's known by their sin, God, that your redemption would be made known to them, that your blood covers all sin. It washes us, it cleanses us, and it makes us pure and holy from what we once were. Thank you, Lord, for including Rahab in the hall of faith. Thank you, Lord, for including Rahab in a place where she shouldn't be because of her actions, but where you placed her because of your grace and your mercy and your love. God, help. God, strengthen. Father, move in this church service this morning, in this invitation time. In Jesus' name.